Well, good morning again. Give me a moment to set up here. In some ways, it was easier in the older days with the huge pulpit. You know, you could sort of drop everything on there, you know. But we make it work. And I like this, too. I like being closer to everyone, as we all do. So that's good. I have to apologize. With the first song, you may have noticed that the screens were going back and forth and that kind of thing, sing to Shout to the North. Well, it's because I had this. I had it in my pocket, you know? And Brad came back and said, hey, you got that? You know, what's going on? I thought, oh my goodness, what have I done? What have I done? That's one of those things. One of those things. Well, spring cleaning. It's coming upon us. I was really surprised to hear that next week we're going to be springing forward, you know, and that's going to put in motion a whole bunch of activities, isn't it? Even here at the chapel, well, especially here at the chapel, I suppose, we're going to hear an announcement coming from Bruce Smith at some point for a chapel cleanup, and you know what's going to happen. You know, one group is going to be working on the pews, right? You know, just sort of cleaning them out. I'm mixed up here, but we have the berm back here that we're going to need to work on, and a bunch of things. And it's like in our house, too. You know, certainly we clean every day, you know, especially if you have kids, you clean a whole lot, you know, and depending on how young they are, you know, a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do. But, you know, in the wintertime when the house is all closed up, you know, you just need spring to come. You need it to come. You need to open the windows to let the air blow through the house, get the cobwebs, you know, all these things that sort of build up in the house. And it's the same in our spiritual lives as well. Certainly, according to the scriptures, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's something we do every day, or we can do it as needed, you know, at moment. But there are times in our lives as well when we need to take some serious examination of our lives, just sort of step back and see how are things going. And I think that's one of the strong points of this series that we're going through right now. And, you know, a few weeks ago, Bob Montgomery asked a question and spoke, do I procrastinate? You know, Phil Ackley, am I too busy to read God's Word daily? And we know that it's more than just reading God's Word. It's obeying God's Word. Because if the Word of God is not a part of our lives, then there's going to be a separation, a dichotomy between what we say we believe and what we do, and people are going to be repelled. You know, so we got to make sure the two meet. It's very important, okay? And then, have I wronged someone? Have I offended someone? And relationships, it's sort of the core of what we are. You know, we have the vertical relationship with God, but we also have the horizontal relationship, and it's so important, according to Matthew chapter 5, that if you come to worship and something's wrong, you know, between you and your spouse or between a brother and sister and Christ or really anyone, you've got to get that settled. You know, so sometimes we're called just to step back and get that taken care of. And it's important to our walk with the Lord. It's important to our testimonies. It's important to us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has empowered each person who believes on him to go into the world, make disciples, preach the gospel, proclaim the word of God. That's not to say that everyone's an evangelist, okay? But it means that we need to be aware of opportunities that the Holy Spirit sets on our heart, you know, to pray, to proclaim, whatever the case may be. And then our subject this week, am I honoring God in my media choices? And I'm going to sort of take a look at that more from the social media perspective. You're going to see some numbers, and I know you're all very aware of, you're very aware yourselves of just how powerful social media is and how much a part of our lives as it is. So it's a big subject. But in sort of core to this subject, as it is to many that we've been talking about, is we have to remember that corruption, sin, the dirtiness, you know, it's from the inside out, isn't it? You know, it's not like we're born innocent and our environment corrupts us. Now, that certainly goes on, okay? But the problem is that we're corrupt on the inside, right? We call that the doctrine of, some call it the doctrine of original sin. We have that with us, and we battle with that. That's really the reason the Lord Jesus Christ came down, because of our sin. And he took that upon himself. But even after you become a Christian, you're still battling with the flesh. Romans chapter 8, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God. Now that's talking about unredeemed, perhaps, but you know if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, and there's that grieving and that quenching that's going on. So you see that, okay? So, and we need to remember too that our human natures, within another term for that, it's sort of like a dry land. It's sort of, think of Los Angeles, you know, before all the rains came. They were scared of sparks coming and fires happening because it was so dry. Well, our human natures need little kindling to start, you know, to rage out of control. So we need to be careful about that. Even though we're in Christ Jesus, we need to be careful that we don't let our freedom indulge the sinful nature. So it's important. It's very important. And turn in your Bibles. We're going to talk a little bit out of Psalm 101. And that is page 631. And I'm just going to read verses 2 and 3. Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, and they will not cling to me. In here, we're going to see commitments that David, this is a psalm of David, that he made when he became king. So it seems as you read it, these are words of consecration, as it were. And David realized when he became king, when he went into Hebron and they asked him to take on the king, you know, uniting, as it were, he realized that his personal holiness would affect his kingdom. So he committed to holiness. He committed to a blameless life. He didn't want any reproach from himself to come upon God or the nation of Israel. That was very important to him. And we're, you know, you read through the Psalms, you read through, you see he was a man after God's own heart. These things were important to him, very serious to him. And it should be to us as well. This is a good time to ask ourselves, are we living a blameless life? Are there areas in our lives that we know we need to deal with? Are we bringing reproach, perhaps, to the name of the Lord Jesus? You know, you go through 1 Timothy chapter 3, and those are requirements for elders and deacons, so on. But they're also good lists to go by for ourselves as well, and others, the Ten Commandments and this, even though we don't live our lives per se from the commandments in order for salvation, but it's a good way to look at our lives and see really how we're doing. So it's important. It's important to have the same concerns that King David had. In our families, people look up to us. You know, it's just not David and Israel. It's me as well as a husband, with a wife, and with children. How am I leading in that situation? And every once in a while, and that's been one of the values of this series, even though I've not been up here, I've been thinking about it in preparation because I've been down in Sunday school, but it's been a time for me to reflect as well and sort of step out of some of the ruts. You know, in wintertime, you sort of get those ruts going down the street and that. And you can get stuck in those ruts. So this is a really good examination for each of us, I think. So we look at him. The affairs of his house with a blameless heart. He will not look with approval on anything that is vile or worthless. And that gives the idea of the word Belial in Scripture. You heard that word in reference to Satan in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, sort of morphed into that perhaps. But worthless things. Do we give attention to things that are worthless? We have to think about it. And this isn't, we need to be careful as well to remember that God created us as individuals. You know, we sort of complement one another. We have different gifts. We have different abilities in that. So we need to be careful that we're not living to necessarily to please people in what we do or what we don't do. It says unto the Lord. We don't want to fit ourselves into some mold. I remember back years ago, a man came to Christ, totally changed his life, but he changed his outward too, you know, just became somebody he wasn't. And soon, he couldn't take it anymore. And we all felt that maybe he fell away in that. And certainly there was that. He struggled in that. But he realized that he wasn't called to be somebody else. He was called to be who God made him to be. So that's really important. You know, in the body of Christ, there's a lot of diversity in that. You know, you look here amongst ourselves here at Dunning Park, different gifts, different talents. And we all do things a little bit differently, but, you know, we all come together for the glory of God. So we need to bear those things in mind. And I was hoping to bring my computer with me today, but I didn't, so I could get a better look on these things. But that's okay. Okay. But the thing to bear in mind with David, that later on in his life, he did make some bad decisions that affected his family in that. So we got to be aware that if we don't, the actions that we commit can change our families. Hey, Brad, can you move that back to the previous for me? Yeah, okay. We don't want to look at that one. Don't want to look at that one yet. So we need to realize as parents, as husbands, that like David, and I can't drive this home enough, the importance of living blamelessly has great effect on our families, great effect on our relationships. A godly example that encourages endurance in tough times, a good reputation, it adds weight to our words. How difficult is it to speak to our children, to speak to anyone when we ourselves are not living as we should? It's very important. How much better to have our children serve God because we did rather than serving because we did not? You know, you don't want a situation where I don't want to be what he was, so I'm going to be this. And that creates a whole realm of bitterness and resentment and that kind of thing. And we really need to try to avoid that if we can. So that leads us into social media. It's really an expression of the commitment that we make can be seen with the way that we use social media. And just going back to that, You see how, I mean, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. You can't go anywhere. Look at Facebook. 1.15 billion users. Billion users. Twitter, 500 million. Google Plus, 500 million. Instagram, 130 million. Pinterest, 70 million. And if I were to ask you to raise your hands, and I know some of you use all of these things, perhaps some more than others, but it's a big part of our lives, a big part. If we go and take a look at YouTube, 1 billion unique users, huge number. 4.2 billion use mobile devices to access social media. 46% of web users turn to social media for making purchases. You can look that up on a site, Social Media Today, and that date. So it's such a part of our lives. You know, if we go to our cell phones, I'm sure many of you have Facebook on your cell phones or whatever social media. It's there. You know, it's not only on our PCs, but it's on our cell phones as well. There are strengths to social media. Connecting and reconnecting with family and friends. Originally, Mark Zuckerberg, he created so college students could stay in touch with one another, what, about 10 years ago or so? And look what it's grown into. He had no idea that people my age, I'm sure, would use it, or even older than 50 years old might use it. And it's made him he's got to be a billionaire. If he isn't, he's pretty close, but we can also use it with connecting with ministries. You know, look on Facebook. Many ministries, Twitter, many ministries, and all across the internet. Audio and visual sermons, missionary information, family growth, literally anything. How many of you ever heard of the Believer's Hymn Book? Ever used the Believer's Hymn Book? I've got a Believer's Hymn Book app on here, believe it or not, you know. And it's free. You just type in Believer's Hymn Book, or if you've got voice recognition software, just say it. And it comes up and it asks you, do you have an Android like I do, or do you have an Apple? You know, do you have an iPhone? And you can download it. Voice of the Martyrs, and I've talked about it before, has an app for prayer. Daily you get a prayer request. Yesterday it was about China. I haven't looked at today yet. But you can keep in contact with it. And CMML, we talked about that maybe a couple of weeks ago, but CMML is on Facebook as well. And I bet they're on Twitter too. So, and then politics, you can keep up. The situation that's going on in Ukraine, are you all aware of that? You know, you can literally watch it unfold. Not so, you know, certainly 25 years ago, we saw the fall of the Soviet Union, and we all, you know, watched ABC, NBC, or maybe if CNN was going at the time, we saw that. But the difference now is this little camera right here. You can literally watch it happen with no filtering from the mainstream media. There's just, yesterday I was watching in Ukraine, people taking over an administration building, and you could just watch the person, you know, with a cell phone, taping all of it, you know. So there's some really powerful things that go on with Facebook, I mean, with Twitter, all these things. But there's great weaknesses in social media as well, and we need to be aware of these things. Social media can be a place to hide from reality. And certainly, there's, you know, I took a sociology class a little while ago. There's like virtual realities that are created where you assume a different personality and this kind of thing. And people live in that. They come home from work and that's what they do, you know. And it separates them from reality, you know. It distances people from their family, from their church. You know, if you got, you know, for men, Work is very important with our identity. And if that breaks down, that sort of affects who we are, and I'm sure that may be true for women as well. But it's easy just to come home and, you know, you want to decompress and you just lose yourself in social media, and that's happened to me. You know, it's easy to get on the Facebook, Twitter, and start talking to people from all over the world and that kind of thing and just sort of forget. But the problem is you sort of forget about your family, too. And that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. And Josiah points at me, you know. Josiah is one of my top critics here, so it's good that he's here. But it's true. And I've had to take a look at my life. You know, am I spending too much time on Twitter? You know, it's really fascinating, you know. But we have to be aware of that. And also, how many relationships break down because of social media? Think about it. If your relationship with your wife or your husband is breaking down, there's so many people out there to talk to. You know, there's so many online dating sites where people sort of hide their identity in this kind of thing. And it's caused relationships to fall apart. We have to be aware. We have to be aware, and we have to remember that we're not immune from these things. We're not immune. That's why we have spiritual spring cleaning, to look at important things such as social media and our relationships and that, so we can get back into balance. It's exceedingly important. And certainly one can be distracted from the reading and the study of scriptures, because it can be so satisfying and it can be so fulfilling. You know, for instance, with Twitter, I can talk with somebody about Venezuela, you know, and that can take a while, or I can talk to somebody about Ukraine or what's going on in the Middle East and this kind of thing, you know, and it just sort of detaches you from reality and the things that you need to be doing, and that can be on anything. You know, if you look at these little advertisements that are on the sidebars on Facebook, and that can launch you into a whole different world. And then on the internet, you know, pornography, you know, is a huge issue for people. You know, years ago, you used to go out and buy a magazine. Some people used to buy a magazine and take it home. You know, now you don't even have to leave your house to do that. You know, and that's all part of that false reality that people create. But it breaks down the family, and we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware. So social media, for all of its strengths, has these great weaknesses, and it's a place where really the darkness of the flesh can really come out and take over your life and break down your relationships, break down your family. It's just another way that Satan has to destroy, and you have to be aware of it. You have to be able to manage that. Very important. So, social media for the glory of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 is a really good filter to use. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And again, that's between you and the Holy Spirit. And also, the way that you learn as well is important. The people you listen to, all these things are important in the way we interpret that scripture. And you want to be careful not to be thrown into some type of legalistic mindset. But you want to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You want to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. So you have to be careful. Even in that can be used against you. Okay? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We can never think with sin that we can just do it once and walk away from it. Sin is addicting. If sin didn't feel good and it didn't give some type of pleasure, people wouldn't be doing it. Okay? It would just be thrown in the trash heap like everything else. But because it has that allurement, you're drawn into it. And that's why we need to keep verses like Philippians 4:8, like Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 on our minds. You know, maybe you even want to put it that or other verses that motivate you to keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus. Maybe on your computer somehow. Don't know. I have a friend who years ago used to travel a lot as a manufacturing man. He would bring pictures of his family into the hotel room with him just so he would remember. You know, and these type of things are important for us. There's the verse. Found this cartoon. Some people, when you talk about the law, the commands of Scripture, they think they're fences to keep you from having fun in life. But as, you know, this young man found out here, you know, I hate being confined by this fence. I'm jumping over it. Wait, it's not a fence. It's a guardrail. And how many people seek to find freedom outside of God only to end up in bondage? And then they turn around and they blame God for what happened. And all the time, his commands were right there. They were right there as protection for us, as guardrails, not fences to keep us from joy, but to give us joy, to give us, as John 10 says, abundant life, because the devil comes to kill and to steal. Don't have your joy stolen by the lies of the devil. It can happen to any of us. It can happen. So, some closing thoughts here. Make sure that your media choices honor God. I shared with you some scriptures. You know other scriptures as well. But make sure that you're honoring God in it. And we can honor God in so many different ways. John, you want to look it up on the internet? John Piper has something about drinking orange juice to the glory of God. You know, no matter what you do, you can do it to the glory of God. You know, so don't limit yourself to think that there's just some, you know, this legalism that you have to keep and there's no joy. Quite the contrary. There's great freedom in living the Christian life. But we got to get past the lies that the devil tells and the lies of our own flesh as well, because if we're walking away from the Lord and seeking to come back, sometimes that's difficult to do. It's difficult because you sort of rewired yourself, and now you got to get right-wired, if you would. Okay. So social media has many positive aspects, but like all things, it has to be managed properly. Third, beware. You're not immune. Good people can make bad choices and make a mess of their lives and their families. It happens all the time. You know, you can give you a few moments. You can think of some things. Or you can think of events in your own life as well. But the last point, but praise be to God, there is forgiveness and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we come to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive. And there can be healing, there can be reconciliation, but some things certainly cannot be changed. Some things happen, and what you've reaped, you have to live with the rest of your life. But that doesn't mean that even in that, you can overwhelmingly conquer. Even in that, it can somehow be used for the glory of God. So be aware of these things. Even if we sin, even if we sin for a long, long time, God will still have you back. As long as you have life, you have hope. God is not like a person who says, I'll give you 3 chances. Maybe I'll be good. I'll give you 27, just like a baseball game. And then you're out. You lost. No. What did Peter and the Lord Jesus had the conversation? 70 times? No. 70 times 7. times, and more. And more. You know, if you live many years, like I have, 50 years, you know, there's more than 490 times I've confessed sins. And he's had me back. Because the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But you need to be in communication with God. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in fellowship. You need to be in the Word. So that that voice that's within you isn't quenched, isn't grieved. So we need to beware. We need to take care of all that the Lord has given to us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Holy Father, as we come into your presence, we just thank you for the great work that you're doing through our Lord Jesus Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we just pray, Lord, that we would learn to use our social media for the glory of your name as well, that it would have its proper place in our lives. Oh, Father, we just thank you for the wisdom in bringing this series before us, oh Lord, because we need serious examination. I need serious examination. And we just thank you, Father. We just pray your blessing now as we depart. You know, we think especially of the icy, slippery roads and pray your blessing. And as our brother Dave reminded me this morning, those who are in public service, those who work ambulances and fire trucks, they have the same concerns and they get hurt just like we do. So we just pray your hand upon them as well for safety and protection. We just thank you, Father. Pray your blessing upon our afternoon, the spring tea that's going on tonight. We pray that that would be a time of great joy as well and the various events throughout the week. We just thank you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Please remember that we need help downstairs setting up for tonight. And actually, it's two for one. You're setting up for MOPS, too, to some degree. So if you can do that, please do so.